It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Come every on. Team gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Come every on. Team gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power.
Oh man, the GOAT spiced things up today when he was asked about his LSU Mount Rushmore. We'll get to that in a second. Programming note, no live stream on Thursday. We do have a lot of recruiting videos that we will be giving out. And it's going to be a lot, so be ready for it, okay? So if a commitment announces tomorrow, and there should be two for LSU, a video will come out soon after, so just be on the lookout for that. So once again, no live stream tomorrow, but without further ado, the GOAT shared his Mount Rushmore.
LSU Mount Rushmore.
Shaq. Pete Maravich. I'm going to put me on there. I'm going to put Odell on there. Yeah.
Interesting. So, I do get asked this a lot. You know, and it's a lot of different variations of who is the GOAT of wide receivers? Who is the GOAT of Mount Rushmore of your football players, of offensive linemen, of basketball players? So I do agree with the first three. Now, what I like to do, obviously, is to divvy it up into different sports and, more importantly, different eras. So I do agree, though, Shaquille O'Neal and Pete Maravich definitely should be on there. Their impact culturally is crazy, and how good they were individually. I mean, we're talking about 50 all-time greatest players, both of them, in the NBA. So I've got to include those two. I obviously have to include a football player. I would lean Joe Burrow here. Was it just one season of all-time eliteness? Yes. Now, if we wanted to lean more towards a career, obviously Billy Cannon, obviously, Patrick Peterson, where he was good all 3 years he was here. So I'll lean Joe Burrow here for that. I know some people would say Tyrann Mathieu, but I would put Joe Burrow or Patrick Peterson as a football representative there. And then the final is where it gets difficult as we welcome in Prussia, we welcome in Chance. And look, it doesn't have to be X amount of players, right? I think some would say, hey, you can't have two basketball players on there. LSU baseball is big. LSU women's basketball is big. So for right now, I would say Dylan Cruz should be the fourth. But if we're doing a Mount Rushmore, you know, let's just say the Mount Rushmore of the four presidents, are those the four best presidents of all time, or are those the four most famous presidents of all time? You know, if you're talking about fame and cultural impact, I think it has to be Angel Reese in that fourth spot. But I'll lean Dylan Cruz. If we're just going by the best, who are the best athletes, it would be Dylan Cruz because he gave you 3 years of elite baseball play. Now, you can make a case for Simone Augustus over Dylan Cruz in that spot. You can, as Prescia does here, you can make a case for Ben McDonald in that spot as well. So I would say Simone Augustus is probably you know, vying with Dylan Cruz for that fourth spot for me. And then, obviously, if you are including coaches and administrators, well, Skip Bertman would have to be on your Mount Rushmore. He would have to be. That would be a non-negotiable. And you can make a case for Skip Bertman over all of the first three. You can make a case for Skip Bertman over Shaq and Pete Maravich and Joe Burrow because, you know, it's different when you're a coach because you're able to play as long as you want. You're able to coach as long as you want. So if you are representing five national championships and then also being the athletic director that started or helped start the football revolution at LSU, then, you know, and obviously he hired Les Miles and whatnot. But I think if you are just saying who is the greatest LSU sports figure of all time, it would be Skip Bertman. So, and I think it would be hard to disagree with that. So, honestly, I don't include coaches in Mount Rushmore. It's got to be a different thing. So if you're doing coaches, it would be Skip Bertman, and I would lean Nick Saban over the other two because he did start the football revolution. And then after that, probably, Dede Bro, and who would the fourth? Would it be Dennis Shaver? Is that would that be? I would probably say Kim Mulkey, though. Kim Mulkey will eventually, you know, be cemented in that Mount Rushmore. So let's take a look at the poll question here. Angel Reese currently winning. Pistol Pete, Shaq, Joe Burrow, and Angel Reese. So there you go. Chance says Ben McDonald. So once again, I don't know baseball as well as you do, Chance. Ben McDonald does have, you know, the added aspect of, you know, what does athleticism mean? And Ben McDonald playing LSU basketball, even though he only did it for 1 year, and then you would include him being the best baseball pitcher at LSU ever, Ben McDonald has a very strong case. Obviously, when it comes to the greatest LSU baseball player of all time, it's between Dylan Cruz and Ben McDonald. I think most would say it would be Dylan Cruz. Obviously, the best peak of any LSU baseball player ever was Paul Skeens. So does Paul Skeens deserve to be in the Mount Rushmore? What about Haley Bryant? Haley Bryant could sit here and say, look, I play a sport where I don't have to do all the aspects of my sport, but I do that. And I do it at a high level. I'm an all-around gymnast. I brought the first national championship to this program. So Haley Bryant has a case to be in it. Pat Henry has a case to be in it. So, you know, it gets into a slippery slope. What about Kev Falk? What about Leonard Fournette? What about so-and-so? But ultimately, you know, it is a football channel. I've got to have one football player on there. If it's single season, it's either Joe Burrow or Tyrann Mathieu. If it is football career, it's either Billy Cannon, who had multiple years of eliteness, Kev Falk, you can make a case, multiple years of eliteness, or Patrick Peterson, where he had 3 full years of eliteness. Will Campbell might have a case because he's about to give you 3 years of pretty elite offensive tackle play. So it's fun. It's a fun conversation. And obviously Joe Burrow getting asked by Complex Sports, he had to do it right there on the spot. Now, I think what really got people, and I tweeted out the clip and it got people fired up, they're like, well, Odell does not deserve to be on the Mount Rushmore. And I would agree. I think Joe just immediately thought, hey, let me name the most famous athlete who was also very, very, very good. That is a very tough thing to do sitting on the spot. Now, if they had ask them to prepare it, then obviously it is just his opinion. And it is, you know, an endless exercise. You know, when they ask Tyrann Mathieu this question, he always says Chad Jones. Because Chad Jones was elite at two sports. It's a lot harder to be elite at two sports. Won natties in two sports. But if we're going by single season peaks, Tyrann Mathieu, Joe Burrow, Paul Skeens, and probably Pistol Pete or Shaq. Either one. Now, I want to talk about the recruiting. Okay. But first, one more thing on the Odell thing. And someone reached out and say, hey, why are you someone responded, Carter, why did you tweet out number four is up for debate? Well, I was just saying number four was up for debate. I don't think Odell Beckham would be on my Mount Rushmore. I don't know if Odell is on my Mount Rushmore of LSU wide receivers. I don't know that. I think I would have Ja'Marr Chase ahead of him. I would for sure have Malik Nabers ahead of him. And then I would probably have Justin Jefferson ahead of him. And then it gets down to that fourth spot. You know, Odell being a kick returner and punt returner adds a little juicier. And he is a three-year starter, and he was really good all 3 years. But some would say Jarvis Landry deserves that final spot over him. Some would say Josh Reed. A lot would say Josh Reed, honestly. And then Dwayne Bowe would have something to say about that as well. But I think it's close for the final slot between him and Jarvis Landry. But I think Malik Nabers, Ja'Marr Chase, and Justin Jefferson are non-negotiables on the Mount Rushmore of LSU wide receivers. I think Reuben Randle is also undervalued. I think he's a little undervalued in a lot of different ways. If he played in a better system, Reuben Randle would have put up bigger numbers. But Reuben Randle is definitely underrated in the LSU wide receiver hierarchy. There's a lot of people who are underrated in the LSU wide receiver hierarchy. Now, fun topic, evergreen topic. This is from Rooftop Cajun, who says, what about Andrew Whitworth? Not a bad player. 4-year starter and offensive tackle. Not a bad choice at all. But we move on. LSU recruiting, or I'll include this, one low-key Mount Rushmore dark horse over the next couple of years is Flage. Low-key. Because the level she was playing at last year, she was the alpha on the team. She was the best player. So if she can hit another gear, she's got a legit shot of being one of the best, if not the best player ever here. Especially now she's got Simone Augustus coaching her. She's got a shot. I mean, she really was playing that well towards the end of last year. But Simone Augustus and Angel Reese are definitely one and two. Sylvia Fowles as well in that mix. So, now, I do want to chat about the recruiting run that LSU is about to be on. And it's going to be pretty epic. And I'm pretty excited about it. Once again, we have put a lot of work into these videos that will be coming out over the next couple of days. You have two announcements coming tomorrow. One will be from Zion Williams, no son, not the New Orleans Pelicans superstar when healthy player. Zion Williams should be announcing pretty soon. And then also tomorrow, Brandon Brown, the defensive tackle who is committed to Florida. I feel pretty good about him flipping to LSU tomorrow. I think Brandon Brown has a really, really, really good shot of being one of the best middle tier sleepers at LSU. He has got a really, really, really good shot. I am blown away when I watch that young man. Blown away. And I've got to temper my hype because I think he's good. I think he's really good. So I feel as if Brandon Brown's going to flip to LSU tomorrow. He's making his final decision. Then, on July 5th, you'll have Damian Shanklin announcing. So, LSU very well could get three defensive line commitments this week. That's on top of getting LeJesse Herald, a top 104 star, who I think is really, really, really good. Okay? So, take that for what it's worth. Kevin Peoples and Bo Davis putting in work. Now, obviously, the main focus on defensive line recruiting will be Jakeem Thanos Stewart. Okay, the five-star can't miss 2026 defensive lineman. Now, after that, okay, and yes, Brandon Brown is currently a Texas commit. I do believe he has a really good shot of picking LSU tomorrow. I think you could see a flip tomorrow. I actually feel pretty good about it. But this is why I'm not a recruiting insider. That's why I'm not a recruiting insider. I have heard enough smoke that this young man is picking LSU tomorrow. This is a guy who wants to play for Bo Davis. But yes, he is a Texas commit. He did visit there a few weeks ago. There are some people on the Texas side of things of trying to keep things intact. But he is good. He is very, very, very good. And if he commits tomorrow, even though the recruiting rankings say otherwise, I feel he is the best defensive commitment that they have up to this point. I really do think he's that good. Now, there's also a very interesting player, and I think a bit of a sleeper. His name's starting to get out there, Aiden Andy. Rising three-star out of Ruston. Could Aiden Andy be committing to LSU tomorrow? I believe he can be. And I believe he can be at any moment. Now, I don't think as much tomorrow. I think more than likely it'll be Zion Williams, Brandon Brown, and then Shanklin. But at any moment, Anding could be committing to LSU. Now, I've heard different things as far as his recruitment is concerned. You know, he pushed back his commitment date. And he was very interested in going to Texas. Frank Wilson likes him. He does. Now, I want to get to the final recruiting news from today. And it's regarding DJ Pickett. So DJ Pickett has a commitment date set for July 17th, okay? There's another corner by the name of Jace Thomas. He's more of a safety. He announced he's out of Destrehan. He's a three-star. that he is committing on July 13th. I feel pretty good about that. I do. But I want to talk about DJ Pickett. Five-star out of Florida. This is the prototypical Corey Raymond corner. Tall, lanky, athletic, wide receiver background, which Pickett is. Played a lot of receiver in high school. This is a guy that LSU, and in particular Corey Raymond, has really centered on as being the cornerstone corner for this class. Now, DJ Pickett has a PHL ban. Spoke to him at the spring game. And it does seem like he is open to coming to LSU. I will be honest. There's still a lot of time. Not only, you know, this goes for anybody. Not only players that are committing, but players that could be committing in the next few weeks. There's so much time until signing day. We know how the NIL game works now. There you go. But I am not feeling great about DJ Pickett right now. I'll just be honest. Once again, I don't keep up with the day-to-day recruiting stuff. I do hear things. I'm in the middle on it right now. LSU has really put a focus on him in this corner class. And I always get a little antsy when a really good Louisiana player decommits in Jabari Antoine. And then he decommits knowing that a lot of our focus has been on the elite, elite, elite guys. Okay. His name slips my mind. There's a kid at Ohio State that we offered, or he's committed to Ohio State, the number two corner, and DJ Pickett's the number one corner. And I get nervous. I really, really, really do get nervous. Because, you know, in the past, it's not really worked out when those types of sequences happen. I am always of the belief that the most important recruiting that you do is re-recruiting guys that are already committed and now guys that are already on your roster from the portal or from decommitting. So am I still a little sour about Jabari Antoine? Yeah. Have I heard good things on him potentially coming back and committing to LSU? Yes. Yes, I have. But, you know, with Pickett, a lot can change. Obviously, he visited LSU. Obviously, we had Patrick Peterson in Baton Rouge for his recruitment. Patrick Peterson from Florida. Patrick Peterson on the visit. Pickett has made, you know, a few visits down to Baton Rouge. I'm not on fire about our chances at this point. I do feel we have some ground to make up here. But for all the other players, and this happens. It happened with the Antoine news a while ago. I'm not going to do this again. But, you know, when a guy decommits or a guy you don't get just happens to be a big-time player, the one kind of negative thing kind of overshadows all the positives. And I really want the players I want to be here to be here. And I really do feel good about everything else. So, yes, Pegasus, he is committed to Texas, but he is very interested in going to LSU. All right. And this is why I don't do the day-to-day recruiting, because this has just been well known that he's interested in playing for Bo Davis. And one other signal you can use is I went back and I listened to some Brandon Brown interviews and read some articles on him. He mentions Bo Davis a lot. He does. So yeah, this is a kid from Florida. I would feel a little bit different if he was from Texas. But I do think he'll pick LSU, and I do think he is very good. I do. There are some guys that I'm higher on than consensus, and at this point, I am shocked he's not a top 100 player. Shocked. But, you know, he's not the absolute biggest guy. He doesn't wow you with the most ridiculous athleticism. He's just good. And I like Zion Williams, too. I like Damian Shanklin as well. But Brandon Brown kind of fits what a Bo Davis defensive tackle has historically been. Bo Davis does a really good job of taking these middle-tier, three-star-ish, four-star kind of guys and getting five-star level production. So, yes, I do think he flips. I do. I would put it at a 65-ish percent chance that he will. Okay? So, be on the lookout. And I do think it happens tomorrow. Could it get pushback? Yes, it's recruiting. And this stuff gets all dated. So that's why I am doing this live stream. I have a ton of videos cut for when these kids commit. Okay, I do. Which side of Wes could see you as my former bandmate classmate. But, yeah, Pegasus, yeah, more than likely, yes. All right. Now, the next thing. And this goes back to what we discussed last night about, you know, chances of landing kids and all of that. You know, you go through recruiting, and you think of guys that you've missed on in the past. The ones that did end up hurting you, we're going to block a Tennessee troll, were the five stars. It honestly has worked itself out like that. Have there been some three-star-ish, four-star guys that have flipped or you lost out on, turned out to be okay at other schools? Yes. Okay. Yes. But more often than not, it has been the can't miss five stars that have hurt you. It's just how it is. And Pickett could be that, right? It very well could be that for LSU. Do I think DJ Pickett is truly unfreaking believably spectacular? No, like when I've watched him, but he is a consensus five-star corner, and he is very, very gifted. There's not many 6'4 athletes that move like him. And you take a look at LSU's corner room, and I discussed this yesterday. There is a semi-decent likelihood that LSU's starting cornerback room versus a room full of five-star receivers in USC is a year two three-star and a year one three-star. Now, that is not the be-all end-all. There has been plenty of great defensive backs at LSU that were three-star recruits. Plenty. Plenty. But right out the gate, that is not what anyone would consider ideal. It's just not. And our recruiting at that position's got to be better. It does. Let's go to Tyler. He says, "What's up? I'm wearing my hat, Tyler. I really appreciate your support." Let's go to Logan. Logan in North Louisiana. "Do recruiting room staff grow in size for all colleges to help maintain guys year in and year out? It's no longer get them on campus and we've got them. It's a constant recruitment from high school until they graduate college or go into the draft." Yes. The second part was just, you know, a true statement. The first part, you are correct. recruiting staffs have grown. Staffs just in general have grown. I think you will begin to see a differentiation between general managers. I think all programs have like a general manager that focuses on the portal and the overall roster needs. And then you'll have personnel recruiting guys that do mostly high school recruiting. It's two completely different things, two completely different type of NIL situations as well. I think if you are a head coach in the modern era and you are still calling plays, you need to give it up unless you are truly special at calling plays. So it's just too much. Head coaches have too much to do. And I'll say it again. A lot of college football head coaches are underpaid. The good ones, the truly good ones, are underpaid. So it sucks. It's a lot. It's 12-hour days. It's talking to 18-year-olds across the country as much as you talk to your family. But that's a business. That's a business. And honestly, almost every single staffer is underpaid. And by staffer, I mean non-position coach. If you're a position coach at a Power 5 school, you are getting paid well. You're getting paid really well. Now, you guys know, as sad as it sounds, bad weather could hit Louisiana at any moment. Not this week, but over the next months. I know someone who specializes in these types of situations, and it's our friends at NOPOD. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go. Big shout out, NOPOD. And they take it seriously. That's part of why my buddy, who owns the company, got into the business. It's because of bad weather. You know, he hated, you know, some of the service that he got during some tough weather, and he just became passionate about the industry, and he's building an empire. NOPOD, anywhere in South Louisiana, give them a call. I'm telling you, just do it. Just give them a call. 504-810-8744. Never overpromise, always over deliver. And that's what we do. Team effort, NOPOD. And you get a little extra bonus if you tell them that Carter sent you. PHL sent you. Okay? Side of J Red, one of the many kings of PHL. Jared, you missed nothing other than a shorter show. Now, I do want to share something. It's a big night for me. So I'm learning my father-in-law's rib recipe. So today, right after the stream, I'm driving out to his house, and I'm doing the whole rib process. Really freaking excited about that. Like, really freaking excited. I'm growing my cooking stuff. There's a grilling influencer that watches one of my shows. And He's sending me a care package. Let's see. I got a question here on Twitter about Team USA. Let's see. We'll not talk Team USA soccer, though, tonight. If you super chat, though. Oh. Rumors are out there that Greg Berhalter might be fired. Interesting. I thought this was fascinating, and it's a little newsworthy. I did a video on the SEC channel about it. It's added to Lance and the Master, Blaster. One of the more interesting recruiting lands. Actually, I'll just say it. This is by far the most fascinating recruiting decision out of anyone. There's a linebacker, and I just did a video on him, drawing a blank. I swear I have the worst memory. Okay? The worst. Quick story. Tavion Wallace is his name, by the way. So, someone on Facebook referenced a joke I did 6 years ago. And I haven't done stand-up in years. And I did not remember the joke at all. I swear, I have the worst memory. I think it's because I stay up too late. I do. But that's not here nor there. I did find this to be interesting and noteworthy. This young man committed to Arkansas yesterday. He had a 1% chance per this RPM recruiting machine that he was going to pick Arkansas. A top 60 four-star linebacker out of Georgia to Arkansas. Now, am I concerned about Arkansas recruiting? No, I mean, we just flipped the number one player in the state of Arkansas to LSU. But that is weird. That is so weird, so random. And he is the highest ranked Arkansas recruit since 2016. Which is insane. And I miss the days when Arkansas was good at football. I miss the Golden Boot rivalry actually being something instead of it, you know, a lot of the times being a beatdown. And for so long, it was a close game. For so long. But it's always interesting. Like, even though we play Arkansas, it's always fascinating. Because I think about this, like, well, I'd rather him go to Arkansas where, you know, they're not really that good, instead of him going to Georgia, which is a deal that could heavily impact us. Now, What's interesting is when we're talking about NIL, Arkansas can compete with anyone. They are deep. And I saw this, and I don't think this is just I don't think this is just coincidence. The Walmart CEO spoke to the Arkansas basketball team today. And the Tyson Chicken people got John Calipari to Arkansas. Man. They're deep. And I don't understand why, like, Walmart doesn't just give the team like a $20 million bonus. If Walmart was the reason why Arkansas was able to get a bunch of five stars and actually give Arkansas like a college football playoff or SEC championship appearance, wouldn't that be the freest advertising ever? They say money doesn't buy happiness. Well, it sure as hell buys five stars. And then Walmart just bought the freaking Broncos for $4 billion. Yeah, exactly, Tyler. I don't know why they don't. You want free advertising, hell. It's interesting. So, I've been going back and forth on sharing this. You know, it's crazy. Like you go through like some phases where like you lose like multiple people in your life. So my great uncle worked for the Saints for a long time, and he just passed at the age of 101. Lester Vallee Jr. He was a great, great, great man. You know, I had a good relationship with them. Obviously, it was closer, you know, to my mom's side. I have a good relationship with my mother and my mom's side of my family. But, man, 101, he lived 101 really good years. But it doesn't, you know, change anything. And then today, at my old radio job, you know, I was always terrible with paperwork. You know, like terrible with paperwork, terrible with organization and all of that. And I really needed, like, because I did three different shows every day, I needed to have, like, someone who was really good at that at the radio station to help me with all of that. And that lady at my old radio job, she lost her husband. So it just weighs on you. So if you are going through that, you know, we getting ready to send some cards to a friend of mine who lost his father not too long ago. No, you're not going through it alone, man. We all go through those things. And You know, I know it's supposed to be an escape from all of that, but I understand. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I hope they replace the Bama gear with Broncos gear. If Paul Skeens was here for more than 1 year, he'd be on the Mount Rushmore. Yeah, you know, it's that's the thing about college sports, is it's a slippery slope, because, you know, it's 1 year. I will say Paul Skeens, though, is the best one-and-done athlete at LSU ever. The best. Y'all been struggling with the That is so interesting. Okay. So I'm still trying to figure out if they actually fired the coach. I would be I'd be pumped up. Listen, what is this? Not Ben Simmons. Second Ben Simmons reference today. Okay. This is This is interesting. Okay. That's a good question from Mike via Twitter DM. And he said, why didn't and he actually sent this to me after the live stream last night. Why didn't CeeDee Lamb go to LSU? I don't really know that full story. I know he is from Opelousas originally, and I know he was on, I think, like a travel team with Grant Delpit or something like that. But I really don't know. I really don't know. PHL Orchard Hour. Wait, Orchard? All right, we'll take a few more. I do have to go cook these ribs. I'm very nervous. I'm not going to lie. Actually, I might just end it because I suck at cooking. Orchid. Oh, so it's pronounced orchid. There we go. Now, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little tired from recording all these videos. I did 5 today. So yeah, tomorrow we should be releasing 2 recruiting videos when these kids announce. All right. So be on the lookout for that. No super chatters this evening. It's all good. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a very happy 4th of July. I'll get to this from Pierce. Yeah, I don't know the full story behind it. Yeah, Tyler, I'll post some in the Discord, but I also post some on social media. I actually have to film it so I can learn and know how to do it because I want to be able to do it on my own. Okay. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. And tonight, thank you, Jared, right at the end. Let's go to Jalen. Welcome to the channel, Jalen. He said CD was interested in LSU, but they didn't pursue him as much. That makes sense in a way. What was his recruiting ranking? Was he a 5-star? It was a top one. He was a top 154. He was part of the 2016 recruiting class, so 2017 recruiting class. So, yeah, if you take him, you're probably not taking Justin Jefferson, right? So it worked out. Because 2017 receivers. I think it was Jefferson and Manny Netherly. And that was it. I'm pretty sure that was it. Oh, Racy McMath as well, and John Trey Kirkland. Very interesting. Tonight, we are doing ribs. Let's go.